evening, ladies and gentle truckers, and welcome to this week's bite-sized bulletin of galactic shenanigans. I'm joined by my co-pilot and chief button masher to this evening, Paul McCockney, husband and wife team Lou and Norma Snockers. Good evening, everyone.
Spider-Mind appeal after Green Sally becomes mostly armless.
Special effect shenanigans as doubt casts on... Let's try that again, shall we? Special effect shenanigans as doubts cast on Kinrain's promotion.
Negotiations cease as President's exercises cause consternation.
Things get a little crowded while snooping around Beagle Point.
Operation IDA climbs aboard Titan's Daughter.
Alien Battlefront rumbles along.
Mr. Snockers will be bringing us an update from his bubble.
And Madam Snockers will be keeping everyone abreast of the latest CG updates.
First tonight, we have a report coming in from the Orbital that the Blaby Blue Beluga of Spider-Mind Entertainments, the galaxy's foremost fun merchants, and the guys with the tip-top AM-DRAM plans for the ultimate evening. I'm sure that should have been AM-DRAM. For the ultimate evening in. Those are their words, not ours. We think that a top evening in involves a bottle of wine and Netflix, which we understand is a euphemism for a bit of nookie. Well, has been involved in a little bit of an incident. David Greenfelly of Spider-Mind was en route to Hutton with an urgent delivery for Alvin, plus a top-secret hush-hush shipment of their latest entertainment for the Hutton Games Room and Bar, plus jail. When, on arrival, he was refused docking permission due to his big beluga being bigger than the entire west wing of the station and not fitting anywhere at all. Undeterred, he grabbed the top-secret pilot project and suited up for a little bit of EVA, making the jump across to the airlock. Timing his jump to perfection, he slid smoothly into the port and the outer doors clicked firmly shut. Hutton Control received the following message over the internal comms shortly after.
Guys, if Alvin could give me my arm back, I'd be very grateful. Well, actually, it's not as much the arm that I'm worried about, as I can always get a new one. But it's the briefcase handcuffed to it that's quite important. Thanks.
Good thing the pain suppression from his suit and Remlock is pretty potent. The now mostly armless commander was promptly rescued, and a station taipan was dispatched to locate his missing limb, plus the valuable unknown cargo. Once we've found it, remembered the combination lock, broken it open and studied the contents, plus signed the release forms in triplicate, we'll be able to tell you all about the exciting news that we can't tell you. Until then, get well soon, David.
Following on from last week's entirely unsurprising revelation that the dodgy Don was a dodgy character and Kinrain had been hoodwinked, Hutton Central Command are concerned that a special effect commander's latest promotion may have been suspiciously nefarious Kamara backing. It turns out that the Don himself may have supported Commander Sinrain's promotion to the Pilots Federation rank of Elite shortly after Hutton entered the first of a series of elections designed to give Vert's progress back, the Don's former son, a holiday home. We don't believe in coincidences, but how far does a Don's influence stretch? There are rumours that he has his fingers in many pies, and even pulls strings at Frontier Developments, the mysterious and shady organisation behind the Pilots Federation. We're not saying Kinrain didn't earn his stripes, but there's a distinct Kamara riff, again, about the fast-track processing of his application.
With the news that Federal Loon Bin President Zachary Hudson was throwing wobblies about trade deals, border security, Thargoids, and just about anything else he could message about, the Alliance are reportedly quite upset with him after his huge arse small was seen on exercises in border systems. Claiming to be preparing a battle fleet for combat against the Thargoids, and nothing to do with saber-rattling, territory-building, or the kind of pissing contest that involves proving that you have a bigger, huge hardpoint than the next pilot, needless to say, his posturing has left many in the Alliance and Empire less than impressed. Of course, we're expecting him to claim, the next time the Thargoids don't burn something that was marked as a target by the Eagle Eye, that it was all his doing and that his firm stance, feet placed wide apart and hands on hips, was the reason, and it had nothing to do with commanders putting their lives on the line on a daily basis. Except Gluttony. We think he just keeps Thargoids at bay for fun, using nothing more than a toothpick, some sticky-back plastic, and a good dose of, here's one I made earlier.
Out in the wider galaxy, yet more proof that the galaxy might be huge, but in reality, it's a very small piece and million to one chances, as the great 21st century philosopher Pratchett pointed out, happen 9 times out of 10. Two separate expeditions out into the black, one circumnavigating the Milky Way and one making a bee for beagles in a straight line, have managed to meet. On the same day, in the same system, purely by coincidence. Beagle Point, normally seeing only a handful of pilots a week, was flush with ships snooping around and a festival atmosphere was in the air. A veritable Woodstock of a meeting, complete with unwashed hippies. After all, many of them have been out in the black for a very long time and are both wide-eyed crazy and thoroughly unshaven.
Operation IDA have announced that this week they've decided to tackle Titan's daughter. This bear moth of a challenge is enough to frighten off even the boldest trucker when on their own, but she's being serviced by the whole team. She's a needy lady, but we're sure that they can rise to the occasion and bring her back online with their trucking best. With 10 commanders now in the elite 100k top tier of trucking for the station repairs since the Thargoids attacked, we're up for a sizable challenge. Congratulations go to Noctivagus, Rascon, Ninj, Light027, Spike86, Malax, Zinn, Ormont, Mithandrual the Welsh one, and the Dayglow Viking on their work so far.
The battlefront protecting the bubble from the rumbling onslaught of the Thargoids brought some new commanders to the fray this week, as pilots including the indomitable Brett Riverboat opened up their ships to multi-crew efforts to tell the aliens to go off my lawn. Taking command of Antayan aboard his hot shit top ship, Riverboat opened his arsenal and started soloing as only a Hutton commander can, Gaul's cannons giving it everything while his support fighters took out the little fuckers that always seemed to make it more difficult than it should be. Flush with success, he entered a grade 4 alien unknown signal source and was promptly put upon by a swarm of ancient little Tharglings and, realising that he didn't actually have any weapons that could repel them, left it to his brace of Taipans to keep him from an expensive insurance claim. We're delighted to announce that he was able to survive the encounter with pride and bank balance intact. For those wanting to keep the Thargoids at bay, battles have now moved into Lalandi 4141 and Dramalama. Sorry, Wallawamalama. Editor's note, pronounced Lufar Lama system, with commanders required to help Hutton keep the meanies away from all our stuff. A population of millions is counting on Alvin's forces to keep them safe. LTT 8517 and Dalfur were defended this week, fortunately, and the stations have not fallen foul of the gloopy green goo and raging fires that the Thargoids have left in their wake previously. Special mention to John T. Ass for jaunting up 1,000 Thargoid scouts worth of bombs this week in an effort to save humanity. Good job! Next up we have Lou with his news nibble from Hutton Space.
Okay, I'll let you off. I'm less bored now. Having started the week facing the dreaded four horsemen of the BGS apocalypse, commanders have been working hard under the watchful eye of the custodians to shed the states caused by naughtiness, civil unrest and lockdown. Unfortunately, this has been delayed by the somewhat nefarious actions of a rogue group of truckers doing some rather dodgy things, although this has brought the rampant rise in, no, I mustn't say that, PSPF LF2 and helped to avoid unwanted expansion. I wish it were that easy with the waistlines. On that note, it's probably worth mentioning that one commander, who I'm not at liberty to name, was summoned to the Naughty Step after depositing a large amount of bounties in PSPF LF2 in direct contradiction of Custodian Rincewind's instructions. His defence of cramping his trigger finger was dismissed by Elvin, and he's been sent to Cubicle 3, where, once the alleged cramp has subsided, he'll be placed on extended cleaning duties. So, civil unrest has passed, lockdown is being worked through, and we're expecting an outbreak next. It's very nearly trucking time, but in the meantime, bounties are the only thing that count. So please prioritise systems below 40% and go easy on systems above 50%. Wolf359 is a special case, however. We're progressing towards an election, but no sign of it going pending just yet. As we can't campaign during a lockdown, please leave this system alone. In Colonia, there's been a week of boom, so both commanders over there have been making the kind of profits that bubble pilots can only manage with a couple of spare hours and a cutter. Seriously, commanders in Colonia have been working hard, and after weeks of shedding systems, now have the expansion they wanted from Dariso. All positive actions currently count. Bounty hunting, trading, hot coal missions, hot coal passengers in both systems, but please hand your bounties in at Dariso. Anyone with expiration data, please check with King Hanky or Mindwipe before dropping.
And now it's me, Norma. Glad you're feeling better now, Lou. Right, the CG news. Salvage and rescue operation with decals. A convoy travelling through the core systems has come under intense fire from pirates, with many ships damaged or destroyed. United Kynark for Equality are requesting assistance from any independent pilots to find survivors, plus any data that may help to catch those responsible in the huge volume of debris. Pilots are requested to recover occupied escape pods, black boxes and wreckage components and deliver them to Bacon City in the Kynark system. And in Colonia, Colonia Project requests micro-resources. Again, this one has decals. Scientists in Colonia are investigating the region's potential to support larger populations in the future. As the region's population has expanded ferociously, it has become a priority to investigate how Colonia might support even greater numbers and what kind of infrastructure would be required. This research requires a range of specialised materials to help evaluate Colonia's true potential. Colonia Cooperative has asked pilots to deliver micro-resources, rhenium, germanium and molybdenum to Foster Terminal in the Coios system. That's it from me. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes, cheers.